Hello and welcome to this exclusive interview with the former Iraqi National Security Advisor and member of the State of the Law Coalition, Dr. Muwaffaq al-Rubai'i. This is part of our ongoing coverage on the Iraqi elections. Thanks for your time, first of all. I'll begin with the question about these elections, about the uniqueness of these elections, the first since the American withdrawal and the first also since the eruption of the Syrian crisis, which has raised sectarian tension in the region. Can Iraq deal with this challenge posed by the elections?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for your television channel, and thank you for having me here. I believe this is a unique moment in the history of Iraq. I believe we're going through pivotal time, if you like, bifurcation. A crossroad. Mm-hmm. Either this country will continue with the violence and probably, God forbid, partition, or we cross to the other side of the river through a majoritarian, political majority government. Mm-hmm. Political, not sectarian. Mm. I think the violence in this country, Brother Ali, has many folds. Well, there are two different violence in this country. Mm-hmm. Number one is Al-Qaeda violence. This is takfiri, destructive, annihilation, mm-hmm. Against life, against anything. Mm. And this has no political aim. And they try to ignite a sectarian war in this country between Shia and Sunnis. Now, this type of violence is like a cancer. You need to, if you have a cancer in your hand, you need to amputate your hand. Mm-hmm. Cut it off. Mm-hmm. So the only way to deal with this type of violence is scalpel. Basically, using force against Al-Qaeda. Now there is another different type of violence, and that's politically motivated violence. Mm-hmm. And that violence has to be dealt with through a national reconciliation. There are 10 do's and 10 don'ts. Mm-hmm. You do these measures to deal with this. And this is the overwhelming majority of the violence like this. Mm-hmm. There are political measures, security measures, economic measures, religious interfaith, religious tolerance, education, you name it. You need to go through the process which we have gone through in 2007 and 2008. Mm-hmm. Why were we very successful in bringing the violence from being sky high in 2006 and to considerable reduction in violence after 2007 and 2008.
Some people would attribute that to the David Petraeus.
Absolutely not. Uh-huh. Absolutely not. We, the Iraqis, led the national reconciliation process. We, the Iraqis, did the political inclusion. Petraeus was not part of the government of Iraq. Petraeus, our military force was double that of number and capabilities of Petraeus' forces. Mm-hmm. But we got the Sunni Arabs to be our true partners in the political process.
You're referring to the awakening, of course.
Absolutely. Sons of Iraq. The awakening. The injecting cash in the local economy of Al-Anbar, of Salah ad-Din, of Nineveh, and create new jobs, encourage the local economy. Mm-hmm. And also, not only economic, political, and security measures, but also religious interfaith, conferences, tribal conferences between Shia and Sunni tribes. religious leaders meeting religious leaders from different sects and different religion in Iraq, outside Iraq. There were a huge activities, holistic approach to the politically motivated violence. And we managed to build a huge wall between the large community, the Sunni Arab communities, and the Al-Qaeda. Now, unfortunately, for many reasons, this wall was brought down brick by brick over the last 4 years.
Okay, this is where I have to jump in. I'm getting the impression that you're going to refer to the Syrian issue. Was that the main factor which broke this wall which you're referring to?
Well, one of them, and an important factor, is the Syrian war, Syrian civil war. Mm-hmm. But another factor is the sectarian regional polarization, this Shia versus Sunni. More than 10 years ago, we didn't used to hear Shia versus Sunni in the Arab media. Mm. We used to hear always Arab-Israeli conflict, Arab-Israeli conflict, wherever you go. Now, where is the Arab-Israeli conflict in the Arab media now? It's gone, vanished, gone with the wind. Why? For the interest of Israel. To be replaced by Sunni versus Shia. Now, I believe the Takfiri trend in the region is in bed with the Zionist trend in the region. Because you can see the friends of Takfiri movement, they are the same friends of Zionism.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
Well, you can see their friends. Who are their friends in the Arab world, in the Muslim world? The same. And also the same enemies. The same enemies of the Takfiri trend. It's exactly the same Takfiri as Zionism.
Well, this is clear. We have Iran and Hezbollah. This is the main. Netanyahu always himself speaks about these being these sides being the enemies. So that does appear to be a common approach. But you, as a former national security advisor, do you have also information, did you have, which also backs up what you're saying right now about the intersection?
Well, let me tell you, 4 years ago, or more than that, probably since the inception of the new Iraq, post-2003, GCC countries were very unhappy with the new Iraq, were very unhappy with democracy, freedom of thought, freedom of media, and this new Iraq, they were very unhappy because they felt that this is threatening to their ossified, calcified regime, mm-hmm, of so many hundreds of years. Mm. Because these regimes are, once they crack, they will collapse. So they will not give any chance for this. Now they started to conspire against, plot against Iraq. And their conspiracy started to get really higher and higher, stronger and stronger, by fueling and funding violence in Iraq.
This began during your time as National Security Advisor?
There is no shadow of doubt in my mind that there are some GCC countries have supplied money, men, logistical support, political support, and media support to violence in Iraq, to Takfiri violence in Iraq, to keep Iraq always in violence and in trouble, because this is a huge giant called Iraq with a huge potential, with a unique position, with huge resources, water, oil, gas, human resources as well. So if this giant comes out of the, if this genie comes out of the bottle, then that is this is going to be another. Well, it will be counterbalanced to these to these regional superpowers.
So basically, I think that I get the impression that you're saying these countries, which you refer to, these Arab countries, want Iraq to remain a failed state and also don't want these elections to be a success. That's why we have a rise prior to the elections. Is that what we can say?
I can't agree more with this. And I'll tell you what. Al-Qaeda and the Western provinces, their single aim for the last 6 weeks, well, 6 months now, is to stop the Sunni Arabs from going to the ballot boxes. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they want to declare this election on the 30th of April null and void. They wanted to say that, well, this is unfair, this is not free election, because the Sunni Arabs are not represented. So they will declare this election is not valid. And this is their single aim from escalating of the violence. And also, the Sunni Arab states wanted this. They wanted to say, well, this is what they call a name as a Shia-dominated government. It's a failed, dysfunctional state. Mm-hmm. It's a corrupt state. That's why it's full of violence, whether by Al-Qaeda or by militias.
Uh-huh. Something you said in your first answer was political majority government. Does that mean you're opposed to what we call a national consensus government when you say political majority?